says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to Nahastan aniva nijone go shavotya, nijone go shavotya. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Way. Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations. Yeah. Brothers. Singer-songwriter Clark Tanahungva off his Canyon Records CD entitled Hear My Song, Hear My Prayer. The name of the song was We Dance in Beauty. In Hopi culture, as in many indigenous people's lifeways, traditional dance is often part of ceremony. Dance is a way of offering prayers to the Creator in all of our relations. As we say in my native language, Kanon Wantakwasin, referring to all sacred life. The animals and plants, fish and marine life, the winged beings, the stones and the earth, all of the waters and sky above us, all of our relations. We Native peoples dance as an expression of gratitude for the sacred gift of life. We dance as a way of asking for peace, justice, and well-being of all of our relations. Kinon Wantakwasin. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Today's program focuses on creating a culture of peace throughout the world by speaking with Dot Maver, Executive Director of the U.S. Peace Alliance. Peace is an important concern of Yat Kadishi Native Center and all Indigenous peoples. Yat Kadishi Native Center's Ganili Goa program is a specific project focusing on peace education and conflict mediation based upon traditional indigenous knowledge and practices that continue to keep Native confederacies living in peace with Mother Earth and with each other's tribal nations. Native cultures of peace are maintained by traditional laws, codes of behavior, and ceremonies that are guided by our clan mothers and peace chiefs. In many cases, our Indian confederacies have treaties with one another that ensures peace and contains mechanisms for dispute resolution. Our Native nations also send ambassadors to each other's councils in order to keep communications open, which maintains peace and friendship between our peoples. These indigenous ethics are wisdoms which the so-called mainstream dominant society needs to respect and learn from. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, the Peace Alliance is a wonderful grassroots international movement to promote peace. A primary focus of this movement is encouraging governments throughout the world to establish departments of peace as well as a peace academy to train leaders dedicated to peace in future generations. In October 2005, there was an international peace gathering in London, England, the first People's Summit for Departments of Peace. Before we listen to today's program guest, Dot Maver, we will now share the declaration from that important international summit. Quote, First People's Summit for Departments of Peace, London, October 19, 2005. Today, we announce the launch of an international initiative for the creation of departments of peace in governments throughout the world. Violence of all kinds is increasing. There is an urgent need to find responsible solutions, expanding on past and present peace-building successes. This international initiative will both provide resources and support for existing national departments of peace campaigns and assist new ones as they appear in other countries. While the exact role of the department will differ in each country, its basic functions will be the same: to foster a culture of peace, to research, articulate, and help bring about nonviolent solutions to conflicts at all levels, and to provide resources for training in peace building and conflict transformation to people everywhere. We, the undersigned, joyfully vow to support and encourage each other to share information, to enrich each other's experience, to listen to one another, and to celebrate our commonalities and differences in our journey together towards a culture of peace, unquote. And that was the proclamation from the First People's Summit for Departments of Peace, London, England, October 19th, 2005. It is now my great honor and privilege to welcome today's program guest, Dot Maver, Executive Director of the U.S. Peace Alliance.
Thank you very much. It's good to be on the show with you, Darnell.
Thank you, ma'am.
And yes, my name is Dot Maver. I am the Executive Director of the Peace Alliance. We are campaigning for a U.S. Department of Peace, and we are also participating in the Global Alliance for Ministries and Departments of Peace, which now has 24 countries with representatives and working groups who are calling for structures in their governments that reflect a culture of peace.
Speaking with you on the telephone, today being September 11, 2006, the fifth anniversary of the historic 9/11 violence, I am reflecting on the state of the world here in the first early years of the new millennium, where the hope of world peace still seems a far-off reality. Dot, would you please comment on the importance of governments to put a greater emphasis on peace rather than their huge focus on military power?
Indeed, and actually we could take a great lesson from our indigenous brothers and sisters as we look back at the founding fathers of this country, the United States of America, and the input from so many nations. And in talking, I notice on your website as well, the programs and the various links, all talking about primarily the same thing, how we live together sustainably in community. So when we talk about military, you know, the military was initially, and still is, very focused on peace and peacekeeping. And it is our position that it is really time for all of us to call for a focus in our government, in our society, in our communities on peace building, where what we are about and what we think and speak and how we act is all based on the principles of cooperation and of our interconnectedness and essential oneness.
You find that throughout the world there are more people who are beginning to adopt this cultural understanding, the importance of living in respect for all peoples. In my language, we say, "Kanon one talk with us in all the relations." It's really a reverence for Mother Earth. It's really having what in English I call Earth ethics. Do you find, generally speaking, as we're living in the new millennium, that more people throughout the world are beginning to see the need of having a universal respect for peace with each other?
Yes, I do, Arnes, and I must say I am very blessed to travel extensively in this country and internationally. And I will say that it is my experience that peace is breaking out all over at this point. And yet what is most evident to us through our media resources today, at least in this country, is look of violence and a cycle of violence and destruction that actually is not the primary way that people are choosing to interact with one another throughout the world. So it is a very hopeful time, and I will point to the Pacific Rim in particular and point to the Philippines, where President Arroyo has invited a number of civil society NGOs and groups like the Global Alliance and the Global Partnership for the Prevention of Armed Conflict to help coordinate an historic summit in the Philippines in February of 2007, where the Philippines and the Solomon Islands and Georgia and South Africa and other countries who have proven through putting structures in their government post-war and post-serious conflict in their countries they've proven and are proving that it is possible in the Philippines with the six-strand peace process, in the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa, that it is indeed possible to heal through dialogue and through understanding and really listening to one another. It's perhaps if we could all learn to use the talking stick, that would be a very good thing in my mind, my way of thinking.
Yes.
At any rate, so I will answer that a definitive yes. It is a very hopeful time we are living in spite of appearances.
My next question focuses on the United Nations and the UN's role in promoting peace throughout the world. I think the vision and mission of the United Nations is very important. I support many activities of the UN, such as the UN Environment Program, UNESCO, the UN Commissioner on Human Rights, and the UN Food and Agricultural Organization as examples. The various international conferences hosted by the United Nations in the 20th century have been very important. I am somewhat disappointed in the bureaucracy and slowness of the UN. For example, it has taken nearly 20 years to develop a draft declaration on the rights of indigenous peoples, which is still far from being accepted by the international community. Recently, I reread the United Nations Millennium Development Declaration, and I wonder if those critically important goals, along with peace, will really be achieved soon. Dot, what are your comments about the United Nations and world peace?
I'll tell you, Arnes, I just spent 4 days at the United Nations last week during the annual NGO conference. And I had the distinct pleasure of meeting with the newly appointed Assistant Secretary General of the brand new Peace Building Support Office. And as you are probably well aware, as a journalist and knowing the UN the way you do, there is a peace commission now at the United Nations, and there are 32 countries involved in that. And while none of us can argue that what you are saying about the United Nations and its movement in society and getting things done, the truth is there are many fine things happening, and without the United Nations, it would be a very different world today. They play a significant role for many of us. I would suggest that, in fact, I spoke with the Values Caucus in April of this year, and part of the dialogue there was talking about re-evaluating and revaluating everything in society, and of course the United Nations cannot be excluded. I think we are all living in a momentous cycle of change and a real turning point on this planet, and it will call forth the best from each of us. The United Nations has a distinct role to play, and with their increased focus on peace building and their interest in hearing from civil society about lessons learned, what's working, why it's not working, again, there is great hope if we will all work together. And in the spirit of how we spoke the other day and you sharing the rich history of the indigenous people in this country and around the world, and it is time to honor Mother Earth and let the indigenous voices be heard and really follow some of that very sound advice. So,
From Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah, from her Silver Wave music CD, Peacemaker's Journey. The name of the song is The Great Law of Peace. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. My guest today on the phone line is a very fine peacemaker, Dot Maver, Executive Director of the U.S. Peace Alliance. The Peace Alliance is an international movement that advocates a worldwide culture of peace. A primary focus of this movement is encouraging governments throughout the world to establish departments of peace. Dot, my next question focuses on the role of youth within the peace movement and the work of the Peace Alliance. One of the central ethics of Native American peoples is the principle of seven generations. This means being concerned for the future well-being of at least seven generations coming after us. This requires that we, indigenous peoples, place great respect towards and care for our youth. Youth have very special insights about the world, and in our traditional councils, we listen to the concerns of our young people. As we know, they are our future leaders. In Native society, it is very important to guide and mentor the younger generation, as they will in turn pass on our traditional ways to their next generation. You will be interested to hear that next year, in the summer of 2007, there will be an international youth peace gathering hosted by the traditional Haudenosaunee Mohawks of Akwesasne in cooperation with the United Nations. Listeners can learn more about this special event by listening to my Wolf Mountain Radio interview with Akwesasne Chief Larry King, host of this upcoming Global Youth Summit. I've had the honor to visit Akwesasne and learn about the Haudenosaunee Great Law of Peace. I hope to attend the 2007 gathering, where young people throughout the world will learn indigenous peace perspectives. Dot, please talk about the role of youth in the peace movement. How does the Peace Alliance welcome and encourage youth involvement?
Thank you for sharing what Chief Larry King will be instrumental in putting forth next year. We will certainly keep that in mind. And the Student Peace Alliance, which is a burgeoning group of youth. We are now on dozens of campuses throughout the country and also connected internationally with youth from countries around the world who are working for a culture of peace and who are calling for ministries and departments of peace, meaning a cabinet-level position of a peace builder in office with the president or reigning politician in a given country, so that we are all focused on nonviolent and peaceful solutions and resolution to conflict. So our Student Peace Alliance is growing in leaps and bounds, Arnes, and the youth themselves are working with a shared responsibility, shared leadership model that the entire campaign is based on, where we recognize one another's strengths and support that to the best of our ability, and we give everyone their support to be a leader in their own right in their area of passion and strength. And so the students are doing that as well, and we also have a youth adult partnership model that is in place where the youth partner with adults who are have been in charge of running the national campaign, and so they get plenty of support. And as I'm likely to be heard to say more than once in any kind of a talk, we actually, as adults, have much more to learn from them than the other way around.
That's right.
I find that's often true.
That's right.
As you were responding to my question about youth mentoring and involvement in the peace movement, I was also thinking about the importance of women's spirit and voice within the peace movement. Many of our indigenous societies are matriarchies, where women's knowledge is greatly respected. In Native American cultures, men honor women, despite the inaccurate depiction of Indian women portrayed in Hollywood movies. Clan mothers govern community life, and women's wisdoms guide our cultures. In non-Native society, women are often still not treated with enough respect or equality. Even now in the mainstream environment, peace, and social justice movements, I still see them being run predominantly by men. I don't see much change in leadership since the important International Women's Conference that was held years ago in Beijing, China. I certainly appreciate that the U.S. Peace Alliance was founded by Marianne Williamson and that you are the executive director. Dot, what are your thoughts about women in the peace movement?
Thank you for that question, and thank you for your acknowledgement. And I will tell you that the founder of the Peace Alliance is Marianne Williamson. And as she is apt to say and recognizes fully, women are coming into their own in very significant ways throughout the world at this time. So I do think that women have a significant role to play, not only as peace builders, but as those who are calling forth the peace-building capacity within individuals and groups and really recognizing the mother of the world as this divine spirit infuses everything that we are and everything that we are doing, as it always has, as I know you recognize, Arnes, and indigenous voices will tell us this over and over, but so many of us, and I will say that perhaps particularly in the Western world, only just now re-realizing and remembering and bringing this to the fore. So women have a significant role to play. In the Peace Alliance, one thing that I have called for consistently is that we are the demonstration model of what it is we are calling for. If we are not living together peacefully, we have no business demanding it of anyone else.
Yes. Thank you, Dot.
I am my voice, my prayers, she who walks Mother Earth and sings her songs. In all that is sacred, that is said, that is told, I cry for my people, for the world, for it is the world that I carry in my heart, for it is the world that I give life. I am life. I am the flower, the sky, the eagle who flies, the earth, the sea. I manifest all things. This is me. This is me. Embracing all that embodies the woman in who I am. Sharing the most intricate part of my being. I need not validation for what I hear, feel, or see. Validation is me. I carry my rhythms and heal from the drumbeat in my soul. All this in the essence of what makes me whole. I am my voice, my prayers, she who walks Mother Earth and sings her songs. In all that is sacred, that is said, that is told, I am the spirit of a woman.
From Dene Navajo singer Radmila Cody off her Kenyon Records CD, Spirit of a Woman. That song was a title track, Spirit of a Woman. On the phone line today is Dot Maver, Executive Director of the U.S. Peace Alliance. Throughout our conversation thus far, I have mentioned how peace within Indigenous people's societies is really a cultural life way based on having reverence for Mother Earth and all life, all of our relations. On Wantakwasin, the animals and plants, fish and marine life, the birds and insect life, the rocks and soil, all the waters, and our planet's sky world. This concept of what in English is called peace is, of course, an ancient one, since Indigenous peoples are ancient cultures. I mention this because it is important to know that Native peoples have been living a life way that had peace with the earth, and for the most part, peace amongst each other. It is also important for people to remember that Indigenous peoples have always advocated for peace between different peoples, including the European Americans who came to our tribal homelands. Sacred wampum treaty belts exemplified Indigenous messages for peace with colonial settlers as example. Native people approached the League of Nations and then, as many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, made several efforts to speak about the need for peace at the United Nations, which largely went unheard. It is my understanding that there have also been many previous efforts to promote peace in the United States, and that the current U.S. Peace Alliance campaign is not a brand new idea or effort. Would you please talk about the history of citizen peace efforts?
In fact, Arnest, a piece of legislation or a bill similar to the Department of Peace and Nonviolence that is presently in both the House of Representatives, H.R. 3760, and the Senate, Senate Bill 1756, has been introduced into the United States Congress over 85 times in the last 100 years. So this is not a new idea. George Washington called for a peace school. Thomas Jefferson, Banneker, Benjamin Rush, Other signers of the Declaration of Independence had conversations about the necessity of having a Secretary of Peace, particularly at the time when there was a Secretary of War, and you know it, oh my goodness, better than most,
yes,
how painful that time was in the history of this country in terms of being at war against the nation. And it has been called for since the very beginnings of this foundation in this country. What's happening right now, since Congressman Dennis Kucinich introduced the bill in its present form in 2001, just 60 days before 9/11, which today, by the way, we celebrate in the spirit of healing and focusing on peace building and bringing all of us together to heal through our pain and suffering into a time of peace and sustainability, recognizing this is also the 100-year anniversary of Gandhi's Satyagraha, September 11th, 1906. So recognizing all of that, we now move into 2003, Marianne Williamson learning about the Department of Peace bill having been introduced into Congress, started to meet with groups in and around Washington, D.C., and lobby members of Congress. Today, under the Peace Alliance, as we campaign for a U.S. Department of Peace, we are active in 50 states with over 300 congressional district team leaders out of 440 congressional districts in this country, with state coordinators in states throughout the country, and we will hold our next annual conference in February in Washington, D.C. As we go to D.C., there are 76 members of the House of Representatives who have now signed on as co-sponsors of the bill, and there are 2 senators. So we are well on our way. It is imminent, Arnes, that we will see a structure of this kind in our government in the very near future.
We certainly hope and pray that. And before we continue our conversation with another question, as you were talking about what in English is called the American forefathers, if that's the correct term,
yes.
I kind of chuckled a little bit because as I mentioned to you, and I think you know as a student of history, many of the principles of peace and justice that the Bill of Rights and Declaration of Independence and Articles of Confederation actually were wisdoms that people like Jefferson and Washington and Franklin learned from visiting the eastern seaboard native nations, not only the Haudenosaunee and the Great Law of Peace, but also my own people, the Wabanaki, and of course around what's now called Chesapeake Bay, the Lenape Nation as well. And it was really our code of conduct that we have peace chiefs and that we as native people have codes of conduct and ethics about living together. And I wanted to just mention that that was not really an American invention or philosophy. It was, again, an ancient knowledge from my people here, now called American Indians.
Yes, and Arnes, I'm actually fairly familiar with that and deeply touched by that. And it has come to my attention, and as I have studied some American history in particular, that while they were being advised and instructed and mentored, in fact, in this way, I have heard that there's a piece missing. Can you inform us about that? If we were to have taken on the full cycle and circle of conduct as you share, it might be a very different way of doing business in our government. Is that true?
I wouldn't use the word true. I would say what you're saying is accurate. I need to be a little careful because even though I'm 53 years old, I don't consider myself, nor do I want anyone to think that I am traditional elder or wisdom keeper, and that response should be done by respected elders. I will say that in answer to your question, one of the concepts that my Nichitanganooks, my ancestors, tried to share with, when we say in my language, the Wampisikatonk, the people from across the waters, the European people, was a code of conduct of how to respect all life on the North American continent. And North American native people throughout the Atlantic seaboard did that through the exchange, what we call treaty wampum belts. And you might have heard a little bit about the Six Nations Haudenosaunee two-row wampum belt at the time that exemplifies the effort on the part of the elders back then to say to the people who came from Europe, if you are to live here in North America, we hope you do so with peace and friendship, not only with us human beings, but all relations, all our relatives, the animals and plants, the fish and marine life, the land and the birds. And the exchange of wampum was done in a sense where the most talked about, generally speaking, is called the two-row wampum, where there were some figures of human beings on one row, and then there were another figure of human beings below them, separated by 12 rows of white beads representing the 12 months of the calendar year. And what that basically signified is that from this time on in North America, there would be 2 cultures of people. There'd be the indigenous peoples and there'd be the Europeans, and that we would learn to live with respect with each other and in friendship, but that the European laws would not infringe upon indigenous peoples and our indigenous peoples' laws would not infringe upon the European people. And within that two-row wampum, there were a whole number of laws and ethics that were taught in this exchange of treaty belts. And unfortunately, at least from my point of view, that understanding of trying to have peace and friendship was never appreciated or respected by the early Europeans. So I think that's the best way for me to answer that, and I hope the more Yat Kadishi Native Center will be networking with the Peace Alliance, we can help respond to that by providing some of the traditional elders that have the knowledge and authority to go into that in more detail.
Thank you.
Hey! listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their world views in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinonwatakwasi Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kitichi Native Center, write to Yat Kitichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kitichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
from the Altiplano, sacred mountains now called the Andes, the homeland of the ancient culture peoples known as the Inca, Quechua, and Mapuche peoples. That song was entitled Ile Pure, performed by the native band Malku, off their CD Malku, Mirror of the Andes. I featured that song to remind our Wolf Mountain Radio listeners that our sisters and brothers in what's now called Central and South America, termed Abiala by indigenous peoples of so-called Latin America, continue to struggle for their sovereignty and self-determination in a region of the world that still has too much war, violence, and exploitation of the land and peoples of Abiala. Prior to our Yat Kedishi Native Center program identification, you heard the Anishinaabe drum Whitefish Bay Singers off their ABBA record CD, Nadu Tamag, meaning our clans. The song was a traditional jingle dress song. A clan mother taught me that the jingle dress song is a woman's honoring song. The dress has 365 jingles, or tin cones, which represent the cycle of 12 moons, 1 year. Each jingle, or cone, representing one day, also represents a prayer for each day of the year. Well, dear friends, we are nearing the end of our time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio. I want to thank today's program guest, Dot Maver, Executive Director of the U.S. Peace Alliance, for sharing her thoughts with us. Please visit the Peace Alliance website, www.thepeacealliance.org, for more information and ways to participate in this important international grassroots movement to promote a culture of peace throughout the world. Once again, I urge all of our worldwide listeners to learn more about the Peace Alliance movement. Visit the website www.thepeacealliance.org. Please listen next week for part two of my conversation with Dot Maver of the Peace Alliance. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. We shall conclude with a song from Mohawk singer-songwriter Howard Lyons off his Sound of America record CD, Spirit Walk. The name of the song, Elders Honors Chant. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Hey, ya, ho, wow, nugga, 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 hey.